Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
That's right. The Drive is live, and it brings us live on a Football Friday to Katy. Here we are at Boomer Jack's here in Katy. Make your way on out here. It's going to be a good time, as always. And this is a playoff edition of, as Clint just said, of a Football Friday, and it's going to be a good time out here. As always, we got giveaways for you. We don't keep come empty-handed. If you're in the building, you might want to grab yourself a raffle ticket, and you can enter our raffle, and you've got multiple prizes to win, including an autographed helmet, game-size helmet from Nico Collins, an autographed football from Azeez Alshire, two Pro Bowlers the Texans, autographed gear. And then in the 4 and the 5 o'clock hour, we have two separate $100 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors to hook you up with. Just grab a ticket, put it in our raffle box, and you will have a chance to win. By the way, you got to be here to win.
That's right.
This ain't a pool, and we'll hook you. No, you got to be here to win. If we pull your number, you're not here, you don't win.
That's right. I mean, you got to be in attendance. None of this telling somebody to come up here, nothing leaving and coming back. I mean, well, I guess we've had a couple leave before and come back. Now, they were doing the obvious thing, which is, just tip the cap, young fella. But, so if that's the case, feel free to do what you want to do and ease back in. But got to be here to win it, baby.
Yeah.
Got to be in it to win it.
I do wish those two won. I wish one of them won.
Oh, he did. He did. He won. I guarantee you he won.
I thought his luck might range to some tickets, too. So come on out
the fact that she came back in the door with him told me he won.
She looked like she won the way she was.
That's it. That's a good point. That's a good. The fact that she came back in may have been proof that she actually won. That's a good point. Good point. They were both happy when they left and happy when they returned. Man.
I hope that affair is still going. Get on out here, Boomer Jack's here in Katy. It'll be a good time as always. To let you know, coming up a little bit later on in this hour. We will hear from one of the breakout. Would that be breakout stars? Breakout players, breakout stars for the Houston Texans. Tommy Togiai. Would he fit
was close.
That? He's what is it?
Togi.
What did I say?
You said
I say G.
G.
I want to.
Togiai.
I got it written down here.
I mean, that's as breakout star as you're going to get. Now, obviously, if he played a position where he touched the football a little more, I mean, I guess scoring a touchdown last week, he touched it, but. If he played a little bit more noticeable position on the outside that was in a little bit more space where everybody could see him, he'd probably be bigger. But, yeah, I mean, look, I would say that's a breakout star for this year for damn sure.
Let me tell you something, Tyler. You like to have a lot of fun with this. And shove it up your ass too, Sally. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to ask Tommy. Now, it better be Togiai. Or GI or whatever it is. He better say Tommy. He better say Togiai. He better say that.
I like that you're going to ask
better,
him. Let's get
he
this
He better
clarified.
Say that. Because if not, I am right off the bat. He better say GI. He better
he
say
will.
Tommy Togiai. He better.
There better
he
be better. A hard G in there.
He better. Because if it's something else.
Togiai.
If it's something else, I'm all over your ass. You too, Sally. I'm all over you.
It won't be. It'll be right.
Great. All right, you better. Yeah, I bet. I want because I want to hear it. Damn it.
Tyler must have looked in that damn. I guess it's online or it's, no. There's no longer. Are there still? What you call it at the game? What do you call it? The
rosters.
No, when you get a book when you walk in the game, what are those called? When you walk in a sporting event.
Your game day program.
Program. There you go. Yeah, there you go.
I thought I was thicker than that, yeah.
Well, Togiai is how Mark Vandermeer pronounced it, and that man's a professional at what he does.
That's all right.
The microphone, so I have a lot of faith it's right.
That's fair.
I hope you
that's
have some
fair.
Faith. Yeah, you yourself, though, have completely dismissed what what Devon Achane wants to be called, and you keep going back to calling
him. That's because he went his whole A&M career without correcting anybody.
But just saying that, you would have trusted the A&M broadcaster because that's what he's been called his whole life, and then all of a sudden, actually, it's not Achane.
I wouldn't trust Achane. Him like Van.
Now, I'm just saying, what if Tommy comes out and says, you know what, Ron, it is Tokyo.
What is Achane going by now? How do they say it the correct way now?
It's Achane, right? Achane.
I guess. I call him Achane.
Achane. And he has made it very clear. But that's all right, Tyler. Tyler comes out and says Achane and then lets you know, I know that he is asked to be called
he makes
something
it disrespectful,
else. And then I'm going to call him Achane anyway. I'm just saying. So Tommy, it better be Tommy Togia. I tell you that. If he says G, boy, that interview may not go any further than it is.
It's Tommy Togia.
Yeah. So, but we will hear. We will hear from him at some point. Hopefully, we'll hear from him at some point.
He's in the shower right now. If anybody's out there wondering.
Just
naked. Big Tommy's in the shower.
I was just reading it, so we'll see. I didn't know. I saw a change of plans real quick there.
That's right.
Last time we had a change of plans, it ended up being Henry Toa Toa. So you just never.
Did you say change of plan or change of player?
about to say real quick, injury from an injury perspective, just what we're hearing in terms of practice today, Kamari Lassiter, Titus Howard, Danico Autry, they all missed practice yesterday. They all returned to practice today. So Titus Howard with that ankle and Kamari Lassiter, who expressed to everybody yesterday, no, I'm playing and I didn't even need rest. They're back at practice. But running back Gerard Jordan remains sidelined with that high ankle sprain. Not a major surprise there. So
yeah.
He was the one on the injured report that we looked at that you felt like, well, there could be a problem there. And everybody else, it looks good to see your best offensive lineman and the other half of your best cornerback tandem in the league.
Yeah, and there's still some with the offensive line, it's not a concern, but there's still a thought of what does that starting lineup look like? I mean, is Titus Howard better in this game at the tackle position, as you've mentioned multiple times this week, Ron, because of the bum knee with Trent Brown, or is he better off inside versus the interior presence that Pittsburgh has, and obviously that moves that would move Patterson to the bench and give you a little bit more size inside if it's Titus Howard inside. So what is the lineup? What lineup do they go with in this playoff game? I'm gonna tell you, man. They both have been good. They both have been good. I think they're confident in what Patterson can bring to the table at guard. I think they're confident with Trent Brown. I think they're confident with Titus at either. And so, obviously, the knee of Trent Brown may be an issue.
Yeah. So we'll see wherever he plays. And obviously, to me, it would seem to be that he would be at guard. Like it would be odd to think that. Unless Trent Brown, something shows up a little bit more.
Yep.
But it would be odd to think that Trent Brown is back at practice with that knee, and that was the offensive line that they're five, as they would say, that they were rolling with, and they wouldn't go back to that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But that is the latest unofficial injury report. We'll give you the latest with both the Steelers and the Texans a little bit later on in the show. But what about last night, man? The last 2 years, the semifinals, that Notre Dame Penn State game was a thriller that came down to it at the end as Notre Dame won, and then last night, Miami and Ole Miss, and I'm gonna guess Tyler. Just judging off those games, that probably took a hit there. You were looking good, really good, for a lot of the portions of that game. When we got into that 17-16 stall there in the third quarter, I thought, boy, Tyler, you're in good shape with that under. And then Ole Miss had the lead. I thought, boy, here we go. That hook must have got you.
Teased me.
But Miami wins 31-27, and Ole Miss didn't go down dying. 18 seconds left when Miami takes the lead for good. You think it's over. No, Ole Miss gets themselves down to the 35-yard line. and has a, you know, better than just Hail Mary to get it open in a controversial non-pass interference call there. But your thoughts from the game last night, another great game in the college football playoff.
I thought it was a tremendous game, man. Tip my cap to all my Ole Miss Rebels out there, man. I mean, what you showed, I mean, here's the thing is, obviously we knew under Lane Kiffin that Ole Miss over the last 6 years had become a team that with a combination of some athletes that's typically a little bit better than what Ole Miss typically has, as well as the scheme that Lane Kiffin brought. And they started with Lane of late. They started adding some O-line, D-line stuff to the mix that gave them a chance to win big throughout the SEC in the regular season. But there was still a question out there of can Ole Miss go toe-to-toe with the big boys? And with the big boys, I'm talking about the Georgias of the world, the Saban Alabama of the world. We'll see what they do with this new regime. But the Ohio States, the Michigans, those type teams, can you go toe-to-toe and blow-to-blow with those guys? And I'm not talking about score with them. I'm talking about inside, can you be bigger, more physical than some of the big boys across the country? And I thought Ole Miss accomplished that in back-to-back games when it comes down to the college football playoffs. And Miami is just they were undersold to start this thing. You know, Shannon Dawson, the offensive coordinator, obviously brings some creativity and some air raid types of offense to the game. But, man, they get 6'2", 225, big boy in the backfield, Fletcher move going downhill, and then they got some little guys outside that can move and shake and a quarterback that can distribute, man. What Miami's brought to the table in these two games, I think, has been a big eye-opener.
Really,
as well.
All three. I mean, A&M. A&M to start.
Hey, Ohio State, A&M, and then, man.
And then this one.
What a game, man. What a game.
Yeah, the big thing that jumps out, and now that they've done this against two SEC opponents, and now we watched Ole Miss against Georgia, and they just – the clear thing was they just – pushed them around.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that was always to me the difference with the SEC is their line play was just maybe other teams could match teams and match some of these better, especially the LSUs and Alabamas and Georgias over the year could match their skill guys, but there was such an advantage for offensive and defensive lines. And Miami looks like they have those type of guys up front. I mean, there was a play there in that second half where they handed this thing. I don't know if it was third, whatever. But they're 12 yards down the field, just pushing him. Yeah. I mean, and Ole Miss is rolling back and back. And it was just like, damn, what the hell is happening? They had that kind of success against A&M. They had that kind of success. Ohio State, we know they got dudes. That was really something that jumped out and tries and it makes you figure out how the hell they lost to Louisville, and how they lost two games in the ACC when the OC to me sometimes gets a little cute here because I think they probably could have won by a couple of touchdowns if they just said, "Hill, man, we're just gonna hand this sucker off."
Miami.
Yeah, if you go look at the stat line, you don't even know how the hell it's this close.
Yeah,
I think it said they were the first team in college football or the NFL in the last 20, 25 years to have the ball for 40 minutes or longer, to have over 400 yards of total offense, and some other stat to do those three things in a game in the last 20 years. They were that dominant, and hell, they were in danger of losing the damn game.
Tight ball game, man. Yeah, so, no, it was just – it's a hell of a ball game. Once again, the college football playoffs got it right. I think when you look at the two teams on the other side, I know it's two Big Ten teams, but that's a Pac-12 team and a Big Ten team right now. And
you still got Oregon.
But I mean, it's like Oregon is just as close to a Big 12 team as you can get to. And so I'm anxious to see. Indiana's pushing folks around. That's not typically Indiana, right?
They looked like Alabama in that game.
Ole Miss ran through and pushed guys around, and that's not typically them. And then you look at Oregon, it's an old Pac-12 team that can they get into the college football playoffs and really push folks around? I watched last week. They won, yes, but it wasn't like they were the more physical team, even than Texas Tech. I think, like I said before, I think Texas Tech just left a lot to be desired on the offensive side with the quarterback and some of the poor decisions, and that's really what dictated that game. I didn't see one team necessarily push the other around. So it's just it's good to see some new blood, right, in the college football playoffs, and this new blood being such a physical bunch of teams. You know what I mean? It's not like, boy, we're absent of Michigan and Ohio State and Alabama and Georgia and all these others. We're absent of them, so now all of a sudden we've got air raid football that looks like 7-on-7 and there's no defense being played. Man, there's still great defense being played across the board so far, and it's been fun to watch.
All right, coming up as we continue live here on a Football Friday Playoff Edition, we're in Katy at Boomer Jacks. Make your way on out here. Plenty of prizes for you to win. We look to hear, hopefully here coming up soon, from Texans breakout player this year, Tommy Togiai, or GI, whatever it is. We'll find out from Tommy. We hope to hear from him coming up soon as we continue writing.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here live on The Drive.
Now I can dance with that party.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday Playoff Edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Boomer Jackson, Katy. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here. Boomer Jacks, as the big voice man said, here in Katy. Plenty of prizes for you to win, including not one but two separate $100 gift cards to Academy Sports and Outdoors in the 4 and 5 o'clock hour. You got a chance to win those. If you're in the building or you're on your way, head up to the front where we are, and you can grab a raffle ticket. Throw that bad boy in, and you can give yourself a chance to win plenty of prizes, as we said, including gift cards, $100. We've got multiple gift cards, $100 to Academy Sports and Outdoors. So get on out here, as we'll be here till 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, TV's all over the place. You caught a great college football playoff game last night. There is another one coming, which we'll look at a little bit later on. Indiana and Oregon, the rematch there. So you can watch that here. Plenty of TVs, great food. I'm about to get into this menu.
Yeah, I'm my stomach's growling a bit, boys.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I'm
with
hungry
you as well.
Too. All right, send some my way.
We will, man. I'll eat it for you.
Hey, man, use some of those advantage points you have with that Uber Eats, man. I know you racking up them pints.
I do a DoorDash, 100%.
DoorDash, that's it.
And I have a DoorDash gift card from Christmas. Sorry, Ron. I just remembered
you
that.
You got one for Christmas?
Yeah, my
They
stocking.
Know you. God, man. I'm telling you, man.
Thanks,
Ma. Yeah. That's a good gift. That's a good gift. Yeah, I got me one to Academy Sports and Outdoors as I hang around all around there. I got one at Texas Star Grill Shop because I get a little aggressive in there.
Yeah. I can see where you do that. I bet you get good and turned on in that old Texas Star Grill show.
Well, I've done $200. I've done that
Goes
easy.
Goes fast, huh?
Easy. I've done that easy. I've come out there.
Yeah.
I ain't going to lie to you. I can be easily convinced by the experts they have out there.
Yeah, they're good. Them boys are good.
I'm a bit embarrassed on what I got talked into to help smoke my prime rib when I was in there.
You have piqued my interest.
They got me. I walked out there with three items that
what
I had not
they?
Planned on getting. A little rub, a little something here and there to go on with the smoker to get. It was quick and easy. I bet when I walked out of there, my man said, "Damn, I didn't even have to work at that. That was easy." I got that sucker.
Damn, Ron got some deep pockets, man.
I'm about to say, so you, one place you do not bargain hunt is when it comes to your meats.
They had me in it. Now they weren't about to drag me into taking a
a grill home. Like, they weren't going to get me on there, but, you know, all the extra stuff.
Well, they probably listened, and they knew better to go big items. Big ticket item, well, they ain't got you.
They said, well, we already got him for one.
This guy
do more. All right. We'll get to Tommy as soon as we get word. We'll also hear from Nick Caley. This will be one interesting to hear from him as he speaks to the media. We'll hear from him a little bit later on as well. Clint, obviously the game is Monday, and we'll be on Monday as well to really kind of preview this thing. But some matchups here to watch in this game, right? Early matchups to look at going ahead as we kind of break down this thing, as we generally do on Friday. What are the matchups you're looking at this game?
I know a lot of the talk is going to be about Highsmith and Watt versus our tackles, man, but that's not where it's at for me. I've told you multiple times, as a quarterback, I don't have a problem, you know, as long as I can slide up in the pocket, as long as I've got windows that I can throw to, as long as my center's not getting put in my lap and I can't follow through and all that kind of stuff, then I can deal with the other stuff. Right, I think the biggest part of this game is about our interior offensive line versus their interior defensive line. We heard D'Amico Ryans talk about how disruptive they are, and as a whole, not just Cam. And so I think that the conversation has to start right there for me, Ron, is you know, if those guys are getting, not even penetration, if they're just displacing our offensive line and putting them in CJ's lap, it could be a long day. So the matchup right there is going to be one to watch.
Yeah, it is. Real quick, Tyler, did I hear you? Did you say Tommy was ready?
That is correct, sir.
All right, let's go. Let's head out to the phone lines, and somebody who is going to be heavily involved in this game. All right, man, we want to really make sure this is correct, because I've gotten we've had a couple of different ways to say it. Tommy, you got to really enunciate your last name. How is this? Because we've got two different ways. I've said Tommy Togi. We've got Tommy Togi. How is this? So I want to make sure we're getting this right.
It's Togi.
Nailed it.
It's Togi.
Yeah, Togi. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure you don't want to change your mind on that? You don't want to go with So it's Tommy Togi. So we got it. I just want to hear from the source. I just wanted to hear from the source. Man, we appreciate you joining us, man. And I just got to say first, man, listen, we're like to call ourselves the most honest show out here. And man, you have been a savior, to be honest, with this team. Not just the injury situation, but I mean, you arguably been one of the best interior players we've seen in the D'Amico era, and just kind of the growth that you've shown. Where would you say your game has really changed and gotten to this point over the time you've been here?
Honestly, I'd say back to getting an off season here, because you know I came over last year like during the season, so I didn't get to have like a whole off season to like really key in and get like the OTAs and all that stuff. Like I just kind of had to dive into the fire and kind of learn on the fly. So I think having that whole off season this year, like going into this season, really helped me tone in and like lock in. And you see like how it is like that I'm playing now. I think I just owe it to having the whole off season being here and really keying in on everything.
Hey, what about the moment? I mean, the kind of how this season has gone. Obviously, you know, D'Amico made everybody aware of you and how good you were, and maybe how folks should really dial in on you before you really emerge. But when this season, man, when Settle goes out and Foley Fatakasi goes out, Mario Edwards goes out, in your mind, obviously, you're licking your chops, right? You're fixing to get more run. You're fixing to get more responsibility. But kind of what was your thought through that process of, like, business as usual, or is it like, all right, let's go, boys?
Nah, I think for me it was kind of just like I gotta step up, you know. Definitely hate to see those guys go down, because those are my brothers, you know. Those are the guys I like I work with like day in, day out, and spending extra hours with. So, you know, like having those guys go down, I kind of, and then them like still believing in me to step up and do those things. So just like that belief and trust in each other, you know, goes out on Sunday every week. And so, you know, I just like shout out to those guys that went down, you know, that still having like belief in me and trusting me to step up and do my job.
Tommy Togi, a defensive tackle, joining us here on The Drive on a Football Friday. Listen, you're your defense has been the number one defense, and many people, and I believe the best unit in football right now. And we look at the players. We understand the great players that you guys have. What is it that D'Amico and Burke, who lead this group, what is it that they bring to the table that allows you guys, from a coaching perspective, to have the success that you guys have each week?
I think it's like the details in the which they like coach, and then honestly just energy and confidence they like imbued into us, like infuse into us. Because I think like every week, you know, they're always bringing that energy, and then like the details of like having the expectations for like the standards very high on the defensive side of the ball. You know, like for us to go out each week, we want to like the standard is like very high. So, you know, every day for practice, you know, every guy's going out there trying to improve, get better. You know, I think that just like carries out through the week, because that's where it starts, is at practice, and then you see it come game day.
All right, Tommy, look, we can hear it, I think, in D'Amico's voice when we heard from him earlier in the week. We heard it from C.J. Stroud. I think there's a little different tone in their voice. It's playoff time. It's win or go home. For you, man, like what's your mindset and approach to the playoffs, and how does it differ maybe a little from regular season, just getting through it?
I think everything's really toned in more. Like, this is the best teams are the best that got in. So, you know, each week that you're in the playoffs, you know, it just gets more and more greater. Like, the details you gotta be on more and everything like that. So I think you're really just magnified. Everything's like magnified, all phases, offense, defense, special teams. So really all phases are gonna show up big, and you know, they're gonna be crucial in the game. So really, you know, really try to lock in and be on those details, because that's what's gonna matter come what, you know, in the playoffs.
All right, Tommy, I got to know, what goes through your mind more from the game on Sunday? The touchdown that you got or the touchdown that you missed? The touchdown they took from you. Which one stays in your mind more?
Nah, definitely just the touchdown I got. You know, we still ended up getting the touchdown on that play. I didn't get the ball, so, you know, it worked out how I was supposed to. But definitely, yeah, the one I scored, you know, just having that opportunity, seeing the ball come, like, flash up in front of me. I had to grab it, and then, you know, no time left. I was like, I got to get in the end zone.
Well, the hell with that, Tommy, man. He's selfish, man. They messed up your touchdown. You had a dance and everything ready to go.
See, that could have been a new – I mean, that's staying power. Not that you need – hey, there was a time in your career not too long ago where you needed that to go right so you could maybe be a goal line fullback. I would say you got the full-time D-line part of this thing sewed up the rest of your career. But, boy, there was a time when I needed to see Togiai at that fullback position, man. I tell you, make sure CJ got them feet right, man. Tell him to get that footwork right so if you get another shot, man, he gets it to you. So – That was fun
definitely.
To watch, man. hey, man, I'm out of questions for you, man. But I want you to know how proud Houston is of you, man. That you're a Texan, and the way you go about your business, man. The way you play the game, and it's just a joy to watch you play, man. And you know, we all feel lucky to root for you, and we wish you all the best, man.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. That means a lot. That really means a lot. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, man. We're watching you, man. We appreciate you. We've been we've really enjoyed seeing your rise, man. Good luck on the game, and travel safely to Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
All right. That is defensive tackle Tommy Togiai joining the drive. I got it now that I heard him say it.
Got it right there. You just needed to hear it from the source.
I had to hear it from the source.
So, Tyler, it's a trust. It's a trust issue.
It's his the way he's handled the A-chain thing that just didn't make me I didn't know. I didn't know. I needed to hear from
Tyler, I'm gonna be
Tommy
honest.
T.
He doesn't it's a trust issue with himself, because he put the old pronunciation or enunciation or whatever the word is at the top of the rundown, and he didn't even trust it.
Well, I didn't look at it. I thought I had confidence. I just put it up there just in case once we had to get down to it. All right. Good to hear from him. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Nick Caley as he speaks to the media. But coming up, we'll look and finish off the conversation about those matchups and Maybe a matchup from last year. Does that play a role in this game? We'll discuss that.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday playoff edition on Sports Radio 610. Live from Boomer Jackson Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, all right, welcome back as we are live here on a Football Friday, a playoff edition of Football Friday. We are in Katy, Boomer Jacks. There we go. I see the commissioner. I see Mary in the building. Make your way on out here. My man just walked up, said, yeah, man, I was in there texting about them cups yesterday, them Stanley Cups. He said his wife is like low.
Yeah.
It's all right, man. That's all right.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, it's one of them, man, like I said yesterday, man, that you just kind of grin and bear it until they're in the cup holder and I got to drive the car. And it's just like, gosh, the hell, man, that cup's damn near as big as me. I ain't got no elbow room.
That's good.
I like to lean on that console when I
you
drive.
Are
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm
you
console
are. I've ridden with you.
Yeah, I like to lean on that console, man.
We had a silent console fight on the way to New Orleans.
Hey, hell in that Escalade, man. Oh, double wide console, baby. We're good there.
All right. Coming up here in just a bit, we'll hear from the offensive coordinator, Nick Caley. We were, before we talked to Tommy, we were talking about these matchups. And I know, as you said, man, a lot of people, to kind of refresh people, miss a lot of people are looking at T.J. Watt and Highsmith, and as well as they should. Higbee from the outside, yeah. They aren't Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, but they're pretty good. And sometimes that can be an issue for the Texans. But for you, the interior is just as big. We've seen, I know for you anyway, your thought is the interior. And we've seen sometimes Jeffrey Simmons, Chris Jones comes to mind that have given them some problems before, and obviously those guys are really good, but Cam Hayward's good. They've got some guys in that rotation. That, for you, when the Texans have the ball, that's still the interior as much as the guys on the edges.
Look, I think anytime, even if you've got a great offensive line going against a great defensive line, I think that the one spot that causes the most problems is that guard, center guard, whether you're talking about running the football or you're talking about, you know, pass protecting and keeping your quarterback dry and clean and giving him space to operate. Right, he can escape trouble if he can push up into the pocket. He can see down the field, whether it's windows or over the top of everybody, if he's got, you know, 5-6 yards of separation from his center and guard. That's just the ideal situation, right? And so I think that is, without a doubt, when you're good versus good, I think that's the case. And the reality of it is while the Texans' offensive line has been improved, I do believe that it has more to do with Nick Caley and C.J. Stroud than it does all of a sudden. We've got guys up there that are just dominant offensive linemen, right? If we go to holding the football or we bump up against an opponent that's got multiple interior presence that are bigger or faster or stronger and cause problems, if we allow it to be a problem, I believe it could be a problem. And so this is one of those matchups, man, where it's not just Cam Hayward. They're three deep in that interior defensive line position that can cause problems and create chaos. And so when we got the football, I think that is without a doubt the biggest part of the game or the biggest part of the offense that if it's not right, if their interior D-line is successful to any degree, it could be major issues for the Texans because we're not super explosive. We're not super powerful. We don't really have any superpower on offense to counter it, if you will. So,
you see them as capable of giving them problems.
Yeah, I don't think they're capable of taking over the game the way that Chris Jones took over the game. I think there's probably two or three guys in the league that could potentially
Simmons
do that.
Simmons had a couple of moments when they played him twice this year.
I don't – Cam Hayward's capable of doing that. I don't know if he's still got that in his bag this time of year. We'll see. But I don't think individually they're going to be able to do that. But I think collectively as a group, you know, there's a real chance that, that they could cause some problems because you can't get away. You know, I mean, here's the thing is you've got it with Cam Hayward inside, with Jake Andrews, and if it's not Titus Howard and it's actually Patterson, then you're lighting the ass up front, and somebody's got to help on Hayward just to be able down in, down out to control him, which is going to leave both your tackles on an island and your other guard on an island. So, you know, that's I'm making it obviously simpler than it is just for radio purposes, but that's the reality of interior offensive and defensive football is you can't help everybody all the time. And an interior presence makes it hard to help outside with your interior offensive linemen. So, yeah, that would be the part to me. The other stuff we can overcome. You know, the other stuff I think we can overcome. It's that interior defensive line that down in, down out from jump could be the problem.
Is there – listen, we've watched the Steelers offense all year long, and they've mostly been just okay.
Yeah.
And have moments where they've been below average, and they've had a couple of the moments. But this is not one of the better offenses the Texans have played this year, and we obviously understand what the Texans' defense is. Are there any matchups over there that you're looking at that you're thinking this could cause some problems to the defense?
Yeah, I think there's two. I think when you look at what has been kind of the boogeyman for the Texans defense.
I'm glad I'm listening because I'm having a hard time finding them.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the boogeyman for the Texans defense, you saw it up close and personal multiple times with the guy that got him last week in Alec Pierce with the Ravens. I mean, with the Colts. You know, don't give me the, oh, well, it was our backup corner, because it's happened like three or four straight games with that Alec Pierce. With multiple – Riley Leonard and Anthony Richardson, Alec Pierce went off. And you're talking about a big, long, tall, fast wide receiver. I that sounds just like DK Metcalf, and he's bigger, faster, and stronger. So if there's been a boogeyman for the Texans defense, it's been the explosive play. And – if you want to zero in on the type of player that I think has been more successful, it would be the DK Metcalf looking individual. So the guy that's left stationary, that can go vertical, that's a bigger target, that can run by you, that's a little bit of an issue. And then you look at Kenneth Gainwell, really all their running backs, but Kenneth Gainwell is one that it's no secret. Aaron Rodgers actually loves getting him the football and getting him the football in creative ways.
He leads their team in receptions.
Yeah, man, and they'll put him out wide and run quick game with him. They'll throw him screens. They'll give him the checkdowns. They'll swing. They'll give it to him in all different ways. They'll throw it to him down the field.
If you're DeMeco and Burke, are you really progressive on how you're going to deal with him? Because, like, I don't love just putting linebackers on him.
Well, no, look, I think against this team, I'm going to make them run the football against me. I'm going to stay in nickel. And I'm going to make it damn near impossible for them. At least they're going to have to work to get what the Raiders got, which was Jenty out wide in a man situation
with
Henry Toa. Like, you're not going to get that on me. Now, I'm not going to get overly aggressive. I'm going to let this game play out. We're not talking about a juggernaut offense here. But if Gainwell becomes a problem, which, I mean, you got an old veteran quarterback that's long in the tooth. He's going to get DK Metcalf opportunities. Believe it. He's going to get Gainwell opportunities. You better believe it. One way or another, it's going to happen, right? And so having a plan when those guys start to get off, you've got to adjust and make sure that you're keeping them off balance and keeping them guessing. So I think those two guys –
Yeah, I just don't want to make it easy for them to get the ball to those two. I want to make – like, and to me, if we're looking at Aziz or Toa Toa ending up in coverage – That kind of makes it a little bit more. I'd put Jalen Petrie on him. I'm not even 100% sure that is, but that's, I'd be more inclined to go in that direction.
Well, I think what you do right now to start the game is you stay in a shell coverage when they go empty, right? I mean, you don't go man and allow them to bring your corner in and then put Gainwell outside and force a linebacker outside with no deep help. You don't do that. You stay in the shell. If Gainwell's out there, your corner extends with him. You got Jalen Petrie. You can bring a safety down in the box if you want to help on that third receiver if it's a three-receiver set. But they don't have players, with the exception of DK Metcalf, that you go, oh, boy, if he gets in the slot versus Jalen Petrie, I'm super nervous, right? I'm not minimizing, you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantlin. I'm not minimizing Calvin Austin. I'm not minimizing these guys. But not, if those guys beat us, then those guys beat us. What you can't do is you can't go out there and have DK Metcalf going off for a buck 40 and two touchdowns with two explosives and Kenneth Gainwell with six catches and 14 carries, and he's eating you up, eating you alive for 100-plus yards, you know, total offense. And so that's the part that you got to kind of minimize, one or the other. And so, I don't think you come out of the structure of your defense unless the game dictates that you do that.
All right, let's hear what the offensive coordinator is thinking. Let's go to NRG and hear from Nick Cayley coming up next.
You're going to get hard.